morning, Saskatchewan. I'm Taylor McPherson, sitting in for Evan Bray once again. Evan's back in the big chair tomorrow after a couple of days off. Hey, in case you missed the game on Friday, the Riders pulled off a win against Cody Fajardo and the Edmonton Elks, finishing 21-18 in front of almost 28,000 fans at Mosaic Stadium. It started as a bit of a blowout, like a lot of people were expecting. The Elks, not the hottest team in the CFL right now, but Fajardo and Edmonton almost staged a comeback in that last quarter. Thankfully, the Riders' defense was all over Fajardo with 8 sacks during the game. But despite the win, not all the players and the coaching staff were happy, as they didn't really manage to close things out the way that they should have. The Riders now heading into Montreal on Saturday, hoping to keep that win streak going. And on Friday, we talked a little bit about this Christian musician, Sean Foyt, who had a bunch of venues cancel his performances, ostensibly because of some vague security concerns, but more likely just because they don't like his controversial views. Well, he found a church that was willing to host him in Montreal. And not only did some protester throw a smoke bomb into the building while he was performing, but the church is now facing a fine from the city of Montreal. Even more drama involving this guy who I'd never even heard of before the start of last week. We're going to bring you up to speed a little bit later on in the show. I still think it's the Streisand effect. You know, the more people are trying to shut this guy down and not let him perform, the more eyes are going to be on him, the more his name is going to be in the media. I certainly wouldn't be talking about him if he just performed a couple of Christian music concerts around Canada. What's there to talk about? So I think this is maybe backfiring on the people who really want to shut this guy down. Oh, and speaking of today's show, we have lots and lots of great guests on deck, including business analyst Paul Martin. You've probably seen all of those trade agreements the Saskatchewan government is signing with other provinces as Canada continues to work to negotiate with U.S. President Donald Trump on some kind of a firm trade deal. The deadline is August 1st, although Prime Minister Mark Carney has said pretty clearly it's more important to get the best deal possible than to just hit that August 1st deadline. But when it comes to these interprovincial trade deals, what kind of effect are they really going to have on our economy here in Saskatchewan? Is it just lip service? Or is this a real push to get our goods to market in a real way? It's something that we haven't been able to do before. We're going to find out a little bit more when Paul Martin joins us at 9. Then at 9:30, it's open lines. Give me a call. Send me a text, 1-877-332-8255 on any topic that's on your mind on this beautiful Monday morning. Then at 10, we're going to catch up with James Bogus. He's the CEO of the Regina Airport, to find out a little bit more about this push to allow foreign investment in Canada's airlines, or maybe even allowing foreign carriers to operate domestic routes within Canada. For the people who fly all the time, this could be a big boon. You know, I tend to believe that more competition is almost always a good thing, but I'm certainly no expert on air travel, and it is kind of a tricky industry here in Canada, so we'll see what James Bogus has to say on the subject. Then I want to know your biggest complaints about flying. Is it delays? Is it the ticket prices? Is it the security screenings and just how draconian they seem to have become? Whatever it is, we will give you a chance to sound off. And you're probably familiar, if you're in Saskatchewan, with Scotty the T-Rex, kind of our unofficial provincial dinosaur mascot. And Scotty's bones, of course, can be viewed over at the Royal Saskatchewan Museum. But did you know that those bones are still leading to breakthroughs when it comes to what we know about dinosaurs and how they lived and how their bodies work? Jared Mitchell is a PhD student at the University of Regina, my own alma mater, and the lead author of a study that took a really close look at one of Scotty's ribs. And I mean really close. They used the synchrotron at the Canadian Light Source in Saskatoon in order to do it, to study these ribs, and made some very interesting discoveries. He's going to join us at noon to bring us up to speed. I'm excited about that. Ever since I saw Jurassic Park, I've been a giant dinosaur nerd, so this is right up my alley, our guest at noon. But let's meet our very first guest of the day. Scott Maxwell, CEO of Wounded Warriors Canada, is here with me in our Saskatoon studio for our Monday morning coffee. Good morning, Scott. Hope you had a great weekend.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I did so.
So for those who aren't familiar, can you tell us a little bit about Wounded Warriors and about the work that you do?
Sure. Yeah, we're a national mental health service provider that provides mental health services, both training and counseling services. So psychological health and safety services and counseling services to Canadian Armed Forces members, to veterans, to first responders and their families, across obviously this province, but indeed across Canada.
That's excellent. How did you get involved?
It's a long story. We were kind of chatting offline about that, but I was working in Ottawa for a member of parliament who had a nephew that was nearly killed by an IED in Afghanistan. And from that, a little fund was started that led to a bigger fund, Wounded Warriors Canada, inception in 2013. Between that period, 06 to 13, my high school, a good friend was killed in Afghanistan by an IED. So a lot of attention being placed on the war in Afghanistan, Canada's involvement. And then coming out of that in 2012-13, the role and responsibility of this country to take care of its own injured people that keep the country and our community safe. So here we are.
Scott Maxwell is with us from Wounded Warriors Canada. And there's a pretty good reason that you're in Saskatoon. You had an event that started yesterday and is still running today, I believe. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. It was in partnership with High Key Brewing downtown here. And a gentleman named Paul Hill, who's a Saskatoon paramedic and just leaving that post after 21 years of not only frontline service, but leading the paramedic association as well, partnered with the brewery to create a non-alcoholic beer called Rescue 911 that kicked off last night and again tonight, 6 to 8. Great turnout. But really the mission of this is to bring people together, education, awareness, fundraising for a cause like ours, all at the same time.
Well, Paul's been just fantastic. Some of his work with the Paramedic Association. I know he's been on this show a number of times. That sounds really exciting. Did you have a good turnout? What was the event like?
Full house last night. We kind of expect the same amount of people to show up again tonight. Different people on different shifts, different availabilities. So it's incredible to do it two nights. It's incredible to have that brewery give us that wonderful location and front and room for two nights. And we're just really excited to keep it going.
Well, first responders and veterans, Scott Maxwell is with us from Wounded Warriors Canada. First responders and veterans really do face some unique mental health challenges that aren't strictly present in a lot of other industries. Tell us a little bit about the work that goes on when it comes to supporting the people who have had mental health challenges as a result of their careers.
You use the word unique rightly. I mean, it is so true. They are different in so many ways in terms of their professions and what it requires. That's why we call them, so we define those that we serve in Wounded Warriors Canada as trauma-exposed professionals. That is the uniqueness that binds these professionals, these professions together, that makes it so much different from anybody else's daily job. Being exposed to traumatic events repeatedly over the course of one's career that could last 25, 30 years, you can imagine. So with that, we need to ensure that their psychological health and safety training is embedded at the earliest opportunity in one's career and throughout. And then that community is backing it up with culturally competent and occupationally aware mental health services in their time of need. We say right care at the right time. Because if we've seen it historically when that's not the case, what can happen downstream?
I know that there's been some improvement when it comes to what you described as, you know, that psychological training for, you know, first responders, for the people in uniform, for the military. What does that kind of entail when it comes to preparing someone? Because I can't imagine using paramedics as an example. We're talking about Paul. I can't imagine showing up to a multi-vehicle wreck where there's, you know, all kinds of carnage going on. You know, I would probably have to take a week off of work after something like that. And in many cases, they go to the next call a couple of hours later. You know what? So how do you psychologically prepare for a trauma-exposed profession?
Great question. And really what we're trying to situate it on is a good comparison that is easily understood. We wouldn't send a police officer into a police car without ever having been trained to use the gear and equipment, or someone onto a fire truck or someone into a paramedic vehicle and expect them to know what they're doing and how to respond. And it's really not that much different when you're thinking about protecting and keeping your psychological safety operationally engaged and trained as you would to go and do the job. So we call it it's prevention and early intervention. It doesn't mean that someone is not going to, it's not another layer of armor that is going to somehow protect you from ever needing further supports. But what we're trying to do with this is make sure that they get the right care at the right time, that it's moving from trauma-informed to trauma-skilled, so that when you have those difficult days, when you have those difficult calls, they know what to look for in themselves. They may know when to take that knee or put the hand up and access the right care at the right time, versus what we had seen historically, where they just continue to park it, try to move past it. suck it up, and then just continually and serially and repeatedly being exposed to trauma. And downstream, it becomes harder and harder and harder to treat, harder to keep them healthy and safe at work.
Scott Maxwell is with us, CEO of Wounded Warriors Canada, talking about some of the great work that they do supporting, you know, our veterans, those first responders, and the trauma-informed or trauma-exposed professions. It is, you know, I forget how lucky I am to just work at a desk, you know, but how thankful I am for all the people who are out there doing these jobs that really society couldn't function without. Paul, can you stick around a couple of minutes? I have a few more questions I wanted to ask you about mental health and sure. when it comes to first responders in the military.
Absolutely.
Excellent. We're going to continue this conversation with Scott Maxwell right after this. I'm Taylor McPherson filling in for Evan Bray. Don't go anywhere. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Taylor McPherson with you on this Monday morning. Scott Maxwell is with us in studio, CEO of Wounded Warriors Canada. They are having an event in Saskatoon tonight, the second part of the event. We're going to get him to tell us a little bit more about that in just a minute. But Scott, we've got a few minutes left in our chat. I wanted to ask you, first of all, when we think about those operational stress injuries that you talk about when it comes to veterans, first responders, so typically what people will think of is PTSD, but that's not really the full extent of it, right? There must be other mental health issues that people encounter as a result of working around trauma so frequently.
That's right. I mean, depression, anxiety, combination of various diagnoses that make it very difficult for them to keep doing what they're doing, to keep present and active in their personal lives as well. So, yeah, but they tend to come back around to the same, when you're looking at causes, what happens, and it was what we were talking about earlier, was just the cumulative effects of traumatic event exposure. We know without treatment, without skill-based learning, without training, and ultimately without the downstream supports that they need that are uniquely built for them, we're going to have a hard time supporting them in their journey.
I've felt kind of optimistic about some mental health issues recently because I've seen just how much more open people, particularly younger people, are about their willingness to talk about it. And we've often heard about the stigma that accompanies these types of things and how people suffer in silence. It seems like that maybe we're seeing some improvement, but that's not really the end of the story, is it, Paul?
No, it's not at all. It's not the end of the story. It's part of the story. There's a glass half full part of this, which is, of course, what we were doing yesterday at High Key and we're going to do tonight, bringing the community together. There's never been more, willingness for trauma exposed professionals to put their hand up or take a knee and seek access to care, demand, want training. I mean, we've seen it. We feel it every day nationally in our organization. So that's the good news. The challenge in the system now, from a service delivery perspective in mental health, is it needs to meeting that demand, meeting the time that we're in where it's not good enough anymore to not have psychological health and safety training, to not have culturally competent mental health services in the community, to not have workers' compensation boards have the appropriate programming for the appropriate individual and clients. So that's the challenge facing the community, the whole entire system that we're all trying to tackle at the same time. But the good news is it's because of the general awareness, it's because of events, it's because of a coming out and everybody realizing that the old way is not the good way, and we need to do better, that we're here today.
Scott, we've got a couple of minutes left, but just off the air, we were talking about the stories that kind of stick with you through your work, and you told me a really interesting one that has roots right here in Saskatchewan. Will you share it with our listeners?
Sure. I shared it last night, too, and I'll probably share it again this evening. Was after the Humboldt bus tragedy, we ran we just put an invite out to the responders who responded that day to come to a retreat style event up in Waskasoo, and it was well attended by about 20 first responders that attended. And I hadn't really stayed in touch with a lot of them, and yeah, years later, here in February, I was sitting in Yellowknife in my snow pants, and it was minus 45 or something, and I was sitting there at this little Irish pub, and this young gal was kind of making eye contact and just trying to figure out who she thought I was. She came over and asked me if I was Scott Maxwell from Wounded Warriors Canada, and I said I am. how can I help you? And she said, well, I just want to let you know that I was a humble first responder. I went to the event you ran in Waskasoo, and I and most of my colleagues are still actively employed in the profession that they love because of that particular event and feeling that safe, supported, and understood environment that we put them in. So that's something that I want everybody to understand. If they want to get involved, if they want to support Wounded Warriors Canada, like they're doing tonight and last night at High Key, this is the kind of intervention and transformation our services provide to those trauma-exposed professionals.
It's just fantastic work you're doing, Scott. Before I let you go, real quick, where's the event tonight, and how can people find you if they want to help out?
Just at the High Key Brewery right downtown here, woundedwarriors.ca. The event runs from 6 to 8. Pop over, pop in, meet us, have a chat. And then generally for across the province and indeed across the country, woundedwarriors.ca.
Well, thank you so much, Scott. This has been just a pleasure.
Thank you.
Scott Maxwell, CEO, Wounded Warriors Canada. I'm Taylor McPherson, filling in for Evan Bray. News is next on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.